Hey bosses, it's Derek. Before we kick off this episode, we have winners to announce. We're giving away 3 books every month just for filling out a quick survey, which can be found right now in Patreon or at the Boss Lounge. Just fill out a quick survey. It takes less than 5 minutes and you could win a free Audible credit to get you a book. This month's winner, we drew number 35, which belongs to Ilya, number 19, which belongs to Nicola Prentice, and number 36, Winston Hugh. If you won, you will be notified by email. We'll get you an Audible credit to enjoy a free book of your choice. We're doing it for one more month, so head over to the Boss Lounge or Patreon, and you can fill out that survey and get in the running to win a free book. And speaking of Patreon, lots of new stuff to check out there. Just go to investlikeaboss.com, click become a Patreon. Not only do we have the full video updates with Sam and Johnny's portfolio, I even jump into the quarterly update this time, and we got lots of other exciting news. Sam just did a trip to Nepal. Johnny has a cryptocurrency update, and I reveal that I just got monetized on YouTube. So if you're curious about all that and so much more, just head over to Patreon. Plans start as low as $5 a month. You can join at investlikeaboss.com. Click become a Patreon. All right, we're going to hear from a sponsor quick, and then we'll kick off this episode of Invest Like a Boss.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Welcome to the Invest Like a Boss podcast.
I'm Sam Marks.
I'm Derek Spartz.
And I'm Johnny FD. We're self-made entrepreneurs who invest our own money and use modern technology to invest like a boss.
Join us each week for exclusive interviews with our network of modern investors, business owners, and multimillionaires to discover new ways to invest our hard-earned cash.
Hey, bosses, and welcome to episode 296 of the Invest Like a Boss podcast. I am in Athens, Greece, and Derek is about to get kicked out of his office in Malibu.
This could be the last episode recorded in Malibu of Invest Like a Boss. It's a little sad, but you know what? All things have to end. So more on that later. I think Johnny and I are going to record a little Patreon exclusive after this. I'll probably go further into depth about why that's happening. But the reason we're doing this episode is kind of for the same thing, as I'm losing an office / studio. A lot of you out there are losing your job, unfortunately, at least here in the States. Johnny, I know you've been overseas kicking around a lot. Maybe you're not seeing the news, but especially when it comes to like retail, commercial space, I don't know what's up with these landlords, but they must think that the COVID hit with commercial space is over and they are jacking up rents everywhere. And a lot of these places are just like, you know what? I'm just going to close down. So a lot of people are losing their jobs.
I'm not surprised because like wages are very, very high right now.
Yep.
Things are expensive, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like the economy is in balance, if that makes sense.
A very strange time. So, for instance, I just went and got a coffee this morning. I stopped at Starbucks. I like to go to other places, but the only coffee shop near my office is a Starbucks. Mm-hmm. So usually, this is just a regular black medium grande coffee. It's usually $2.95. Well, as of April 1st, it went up to $3.45. You're like, oh, it's just 50 cents. But percentage wise, that's like 15%.
That's a big jump. Yeah.
So I asked them, I was like, why'd that go up so much? And they're like, well, this is a California thing, but I'm sure it's going to spread to the rest of the states soon. They just passed a law that all fast food workers, if they're designated as fast food, Starbucks falls under that, have to get paid a minimum of $20 an hour. So,
oh my God.
In return, we just get screwed. And everyone's like, oh, that's great. These people are making more money. Well, it's like,
no, that's
where do you
so
think that
stupid
money is coming from? It's just going to get passed on to us. So they raise every drink price 50 cents.
That's ridiculous. And that's crazy because people aren't going to be able to afford to eat cheap fast food anymore. Like they might as well just go to like an actual restaurant or just eat at home. And that's insane.
Yeah. And to go along with that, right next door, there's this little like niche, like pet store that's there. And this is a very high end neighborhood and people love their dogs and pets. And it had a sign out front that said, after 30 years, you know, we can't afford to stay here anymore. And the store is closing. And it's just like stories like that happening everywhere. that I think kind of inspired the reason for having this episode. Sam had brought it up that, you know, you and I should get into this episode for a lot of reasons. And I think we're going to start as like a series of side hustle episodes. So I think we should start out first with the very basics. If you're going to lose your job or you just lost your job, you need money fast, right?
Yeah. Or if you still have your job, but you have no extra time, you just want to make some extra money because you can't afford those, you know, $5 Starbucks anymore, or the $20 fast food meals. This is something to do on the side, save up some money. So kind of have a buffer before you, knock on wood, lose that job.
Or money to invest, things like that. Obviously, we touched on a lot of investment topics and people are like, well, I don't have any extra money to invest. And I hear a lot of people saying they don't have excuses. They don't have time to do things. I'm here to tell you there's always time to fit things in. And these apps that we're going to talk about today are the most obvious ones that anyone can do. And they're available literally 24/7. You can squeeze a couple hours a week, I think, out of anyone's schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we're going to break it down to the digital side and then also the in-person side. And one good thing about living in expensive cities, whether it's in California or New York, in London, Paris, you know, anywhere in Australia, is these side hustles normally actually make more money as well. So there's pros of being in an expensive place, but we'll get into all that. What do you want to start with, Derek?
Let's start with the delivery apps. I think for me, I've actually personally been doing these for like 7 years, and I still do them to this day because honestly, I actually kind of enjoy it, as crazy as it sounds. I actually first got into doing these when I was in the music management position, and you know, all the artists that we represented were off tour, they weren't releasing albums, and it was just really slow, and I was honestly bored. The whole music cycle is like up and down. You go on tour, you release an album, but if you're in a down cycle, there's really not a whole lot to do. So I found myself kind of just being bored. And I was like, you know what? I want to make some extra money. And I had some debt at the time. So I started doing like Instacart, like DoorDash, Grubhub, things like this. And I realized that I was able to pay off my debt really, really quickly and get myself in a good position. And I would say in a matter of like 3 to 6 months, I had all the credit cards I had paid off, everything paid off. I didn't have any loans, like nothing. It felt amazing. And that was basically the first time in my life, not the first time in my life, I guess, but the first time in a long time that I didn't have any debt, and it felt great. And then I want to say about 6 months after I was doing it, just on the side for fun, a couple hours after work, I got the notice that my company was going to be closing. And in 3 months, I wasn't going to have a job. So that really kicked me into like turbo mode. Those last 3 months at my music job, I kind of just did the bare minimum. Because, you know, it's like, I'm not going to be here anymore anyways. The company's closing. It's like, there's not any chance to like save my job. And I just like hustled every single night and did all these delivery apps and saved up as much money as I could. And I actually saved up enough money to go on a trip around Europe for a whole month and just not work. It was like the greatest thing that's ever happened.
That's awesome. And you know, the thing is, with this convenience of delivery apps, people kind of forget that there's the two sides of it. There's the convenience of staying at home on our couch and paying a little bit extra and hopefully tipping to get the service. But then there's the other side of the convenience of being able to work, you know, these gig jobs.
Yeah. And there is like a whole science to it, which I think is what we're going to break down into here. So if you want to maximize the best use of this, I think first you got to have the proper mindset. So this is definitely a hustle job and it's not for everyone. You know, I've told a lot of people about this, you know, like, hey, you can make extra money doing this. It amazes me, Johnny, that, you know, it's not like any of us, that there's people out there that just want to do the bare minimum at their job, go home and do nothing else and be content with, you know, having bills, owing debt, and things like that. And if that's you, I'm not hating on you, but this kind of side hustle where you really got to be money motivated type of hustle isn't for you.
Yeah, but at least they'll have the kind of chance of saying, am I willing to put in this extra work or not? Or, you know, or am I not willing to do it? And if they're not willing to do it, it's okay. You know, not everybody is meant to side hustle work more than 40 hours a week. But then that kind of just takes away the excuse to complain, right? They can't go on Twitter or start bitching.
So this is like, I think it was like a year ago, Kim Kardashian went on some show and they're like, how do you explain your success? And she's like, well, I work my ass off and everyone else should get up and do that too. And she got so many people like hating on her. But honestly, it's true. It's like, if you really want something, you have to work for it. Like nothing in this world is free.
Yeah, absolutely. And would you kind of group in the delivery apps along with, you know, driving Uber or something along those lines?
I've actually never done Uber and Lyft just for one simple reason. I guess if I was desperate and had to do it, I would. But I don't want strangers in my car. I don't want drunks in my car. I actually had a friend who did Lyft here in Los Angeles that got a gun held to his head and they robbed everybody in the car. I don't need that kind of drama in my life. And you and I are car people, Johnny. I think you understand too. You don't want like weird people riding in your car.
You know, I actually almost drove Lyft or Uber, whatever what it is, in Ukraine. And it was because there was a curfew at like 10 or 11. Now it's midnight. They moved it up. But I remember
this is when the war first broke out.
Well, I mean, this wasn't even that long ago. I guess this was the last year or so. I could probably still do it now, to be honest. But basically, the metro system closes an hour before curfew. So if you're at a bar or something and you want to take the metro home, you have to be at the metro by 11 p.m. But you technically don't need to leave the bar until midnight.
Oh, so otherwise you're kind of screwed in that last hour.
Yeah. And there's just a lot of people, they just, you know, kind of get caught up. I don't want to say, you know, they just missed the time, because I think most of them kind of are rare. They're like, ah, oh, okay, I'll figure it out. You know, I'll take a cab or something.
Yeah.
But taxis, you know, are so expensive during that hour between 11 and 12.
I bet.
And I thought about kind of doing just a kind of almost a public service, but also while making a lot of money and only driving during that hour.
That's a good call. The same thing happens here too around bar close. Bar close in LA is 2 a.m. And on the weekends, I'm rarely out that late anymore. Mm-hmm. But if I am, a lot of times we're like, you know what? Let's just find like a 24-hour brunch spot or breakfast spot or whatever at 2 a.m. and let's just go get something to eat, because the price you're going to pay in Uber is going to be like an extra $30, $40 anyway. So you might as well get some food out of it, wait till 3 a.m. and then go home and get the cheaper Uber. But that 1 hour window though at Barco's, you can maximize your earnings for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was the closest I've ever been to driving on the side. But my dad actually drove a taxi on the side just on weekends. And it wasn't just to make the extra money from the fares. It was because, at least back then, you can get something called a taxi medallion if you drive for X amount of years.
I think those are still a thing.
Yeah, I think in New York it is for sure. But the one in San Francisco, unfortunately, while he was kind of almost like a year away from getting the medallion, which then he could just rent out to other people, they stopped that program or something changed. So he kind of just wasted all that time. But it was still free money on the weekend. It was just another side gig on top of all the work he was already doing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think those medallions actually, like the New York ones, I think you actually can like buy and sell them. They're like a valuable asset.
They're extremely valuable. So the ones in New York, I think they're very, very hard to get. I don't know too much about it, but that was a side hustle even before the app days. Now one of my cousins who lives in LA, Jacob, who you met, he wanted a nice luxury car because he's a real estate agent. He don't want to drive around his his 07 Matrix around.
Yeah, no one wants to buy a house from that guy.
Yeah, but he didn't want to pay all the money for it. So what he did was he went out and he leased a new Infiniti. Was it the QX60? Maybe like the big SUV.
Yep.
Yeah, luxury, and he just drives Uber just a few days a month.
With that, you can probably do Uber Black, I would assume.
Yes.
Like the bigger one, yeah.
Yeah, so the one reason why he chose that specific car is he could do Uber Black and he could do Uber XL.
Right, with the extra row, yeah.
Yeah, and so he would drive just literally a few days a month. That pays off his entire car. And as kind of a side hack, he said that sometimes when he's in between showings or something and he doesn't want to drive back and forth from the West Coast, from the West Side back to where he lives in the East, because it takes like an hour, he'll just turn on Uber or Uber delivery and he'll just kind of hang out in that neighborhood and just make deliveries for an hour or two just to make a little extra money instead of just waiting around.
I got a funny story that's kind of related to that. I was heading up to the office here a couple weeks ago, and I think it was a Grubhub order at a restaurant that was literally I was right next to, popped up, and it was going right by my office. So I was like, perfect. I'm basically getting paid to drive to work. Well, I go and pick it up and they don't tell you the exact spot until you grab the order. So I grabbed the order and it was literally my next door office neighbor. So I was delivering a Grubhub order to my office neighbor. And she's like, what the hell are you doing?
That's so funny, but that's perfect. I mean, and she has to tip you well because she's gonna see you every day.
It was a little bit awkward, but I don't know, you kind of gotta break the stigma of like you're too good to do this kind of job, because I used to kind of think that, and now I'm just like, whatever, it's money, I'm making money.
Yeah, I think that's the number one reason why more people don't do it is just because they feel like it's beneath them.
Yeah.
And if you're broke, if you're in debt, nothing's beneath you.
Yeah, I'll totally agree with that. Well, let's get into like supplies you need. First off, the biggest one you need is the car. And you just said, you know, like in the case of your cousin, he needed a big SUV or like a large luxury car to drive Uber Black. That's a very specific niche. If you're looking to do that with any of the delivery apps or just drive regular Uber, I would not suggest that at all, especially with the price of gas. There's a reason that, like, think of the cars that you get into every time you just take a regular Uber. Most of the time, it's probably going to be a Prius, maybe a Tesla, smaller like hybrid car, or a car that gets really good on gas mileage, and something reliable, like a Japanese car, like no hating on the European brands or American cars, but you know, Hondas and Toyotas and, you know, Mazdas and things like that are, you know, as reliable as they are for a reason. And when you're abusing your car as much as you are, you need something reliable. Like when I first started just kind of doing it for fun, I had an old BMW, and every time something broke on that, it was $2,000, and you don't want to deal with that. It'll kill all your earnings.
Well, I mean, not even just that, just the cost of brakes, oil changes, you know, maintenance, the fuel, like, it just would not be profitable to drive my Cayenne as an Uber during normal fares. It would literally only be profitable, you know, as Uber Black or as a surge fare.
Yeah, I spend probably $200 a week in gas right now, and I have like a decently efficient car. Like probably, I think I get like 28 or 29 miles a gallon. It isn't amazing. I used to have a hybrid, kind of miss that, but I like my car a lot better now, but it really kills you on the gas. And there's a lot of these people driving like pickup trucks or like luxury cars that need premium gas, that it's an extra 30, 40 cents a gallon. I know you want to look cool and have a nice car. If you're good enough at your side hustle, you should be able to afford a second car and not use that expensive car for your hustle.
Yeah. And actually there's a lot of car companies that will rent you a car that you can use for Uber. There's literally programs that will give you, I don't know why they would give you a discount, because it feels like you put more wear and tear than a normal tourist would, but it's actually cheaper to rent it as an Uber, to use as an Uber, than it would just to rent it as a traveler or a vacationer.
Yeah, there are those deals out there. Johnny, you know that Ford I used to have, I was getting like an insane deal that doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. But there are companies out there every once in a while that pop up and try and do that. So if you can jump on a car and not a lease, do not get a lease from a dealership. You're going to go over your miles and you're going to pay a ton of money when you bring that back. So if you're leasing a car, this is not the right thing for you. You need a car that you either outright own or it's got an unlimited miles package.
Yeah. And speaking of which, I don't know why I always like to ask people, especially when it's like a really expensive car, and I know they're not making that much on Uber in places like in Thailand or in Ukraine. And most of the time, they don't own the cars. It's a program where they pay a fixed amount per day to use the car, and then, you know, that company would deal with maintenance, the, you know, the tires, the brakes, all that stuff.
Yeah. So look into those. I know there's ones directly through like the Uber and the Lyft apps that you can look into. They are going to be more than what your car payment would be. But trust me, if one thing breaks and it's paid for, it's going to make up for that difference really, really quick.
All right. So what's next on the list, Derek?
So just a couple more like little kind of side hack, like equipment things you should have with you. First off, you should have the best phone you can get. So I have the brand new iPhone 15 Max. All these apps run off technology. They're an app. So they are using the latest and greatest. So you actually should have the best phone you can possibly use. And I know they're expensive. I think I paid $1,500 for my phone, but it's a tax write-off too. So you should also note that you need that for your business. You're an independent contractor with these. You can write off your purchase of your iPhone. And just the way that the apps work to sort jobs for you is they ping off the local cell phone towers. So you need the strongest, best, fastest equipment you can get. So definitely invest in a good phone. And I don't know, if you don't have iPhone, Android, whatever the best Android phone is, you should definitely invest in the best phone you can get.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see that being a tweak. But if you're in debt and you're broke, don't go out and spend $1,500 on a phone. Just start with what you can.
I've seen it, though, where people with older phones don't get the offers of the people with the new phones.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can see that, especially if it causes them to miss something or mess something up. But yeah, I mean, drive for a few weeks and then upgrade the phone.
Yeah, I'm not saying day one, but other things you should have, like if you're doing food pickups and stuff, just be a decent human being and get some insulated bags for the food. Don't be that guy that just grabs the someone's like fancy restaurant order and just throws it in the back of your dirty, nasty car. Be clean, keep your car clean. Like, people are going to see what you're bringing up to. And if it looks like you live in your car, there's no incentive to tip you for that. And it's just like hygienic purposes. Just be a decent person.
You know, keep your car clean anyways. because that is the number one hack. Like, if I was ever going to hire someone for a job or have a tenant rent my apartment, the very first thing I'd want to do is check out the condition of their car that they drive in. Because if it's dirty inside and out, especially the inside, if, you know, a bunch of, you know, garbage and stuff, like literal empty cans or, you know, potato chip packages or, you know, crumpled up bags, I'm not renting to that person, and I'm not going to hire them because I know what their personality is like.
I saw some survey a while ago where it's like hiring people were asked like if they actually looked at the person's car and how they, when they came, and like over half the people said they actually made it a point to go look at the car that they were driving and what it looked like inside.
Yeah, it's absolutely important, because if you can't take care of that, you're not going to take care of anything else.
Yeah, and just a couple other small things. One thing that I've had, I think in the 7 years I've done this, I've got 2 parking tickets, which I think is very good for LA because they are like ninjas out here. So you need to be very careful where you're parking if you're parking illegally. And one little hack I got from one of the meter maid people were like, they said, make a sign that says you're on a delivery so people know, because you're just using a regular car. I think if you look at like a FedEx or UPS truck or something, they know that's for a delivery. But if you're just in your normal Prius or whatever it may be, come up with some kind of sign that you can put in the windshield. It was like, hey, I'm going to be right back. You can just Google them. There's a bunch of people that have done that before. I'm not going to say it's going to guarantee you get you out of a ticket, but I say if you got someone that's not in a terrible mood that day, they're probably not going to give you a ticket as long as you're running right back. And never park in a red zone, no matter what. I'd rather double park or anything like that than any kind of red zone. Just be careful. And that'll kind of tie into location wise, which I'm going to get into later, of how to avoid, you know, these kind of simple things. When you're in a dense city, it's tough to avoid parking tickets. And one parking ticket can ruin your day when it's $75-$80.
Well, that's why a lot of delivery drivers, or pretty much all delivery drivers in Taiwan, where I was just at, they do the food deliveries on the back of a scooter. Mm-hmm. They install this little insulated box on the back. They drive around. It's, you know, it costs almost nothing in fuel. There's no traffic, so they can get to places faster. They can double park literally in front of the restaurant every single time, in front of a person's house every time. It's just a great way to do it.
Yeah, I don't know that how possible that is really in too much of America. I see a couple people here in Los Angeles do that, but really nothing like when I went to like Europe or anywhere else where you see them just like, I'm thinking like Barcelona when I was there. It's literally hundreds of guys on scooters with the little boxes on the back or holding the backpack on them. I've seen a couple of people do e-bikes here, but you're really consolidated to a small little area there. That could be like a good side hustle if you want to get some exercise too. But I think if you want to make some real money in most American cities, maybe not New York or Chicago, not familiar with those, but you're probably going to need a car.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. But, you know, at the same time, if you want to keep your costs super low, I mean, I've literally seen people that deliver by foot or by subway or by bicycle, you know, and they just keep, you know, they just, what they do is they commute to the city center, you know, or the downtown area. So they're not just delivering near their house. They do the commute into the busy area, and then they set their, you know, their boundaries just in that very, very dense, you know, little area. And it's a way to get started on a low budget. And if you find a dense enough downtown area, you can literally do it without even having a car.
And on the opposite end of the spectrum, let's get into location then. For what I do, and with a car, if you want to avoid those parking tickets, traffic, things like that, is look on the map. You know your city better than anyone else. Find the place with the most expensive homes. What's the nicest area in your city? A lot of people accuse rich people of being cheap and not tipping enough, blah, blah, blah. I think that's the exact opposite case from what I've learned, is the people with more money are going to tip more. It's just a fact. It's, you know, you're always going to run into some cheap people here and there, but you're going to run into a lot more generous people that have a lot of money too. I might be a little skewed here in Los Angeles because, you know, like money here is like money compared to some other cities, you know, where I can go to a $20 million house, you know, 10 times a day. That might not be the case in your city, but there's definitely find the people, the wealthiest people in the suburbs. I think go to the suburbs, avoid the traffic, avoid traffic traps. If you know there's one section of the city that's just gridlock all day, stay out of there. There's no reason you need to be in there because time is money. And find a spot with like concentrated bit of stores, whether if you're doing Instacart and it's grocery stores, like the area I like to go to, there's a high-end store called Gelson's. It's just a California store. I do a lot of orders there. A Ralph's, which is kind of just your basic middle of the run grocery store. There's a CVS, so a pharmacy, you can shop there. There's an Erewhon, which is another high-end market. And there's a Sephora. That's kind of a hack too. You know what Sephora is, right, Johnny? It's like the makeup store.
Yeah, the makeup. Yeah.
So I don't know a goddamn thing about any of these makeups or how to find them. Those are the best hack. If you're a guy and you're like, oh, I don't know where anything is at Sephora, you walk in and you go, excuse me, can you help me find all this stuff? And they literally shop the order for you.
Oh, that's so easy. Yeah.
Yeah. You get all the stuff and your tips are percentage based. So I don't know if you've ever bought anything at Sephora, but I don't think anything is under $50. I had a little tiny bag the other day. It was like $300. And I was like, what?
Yeah. So that's crazy.
Stuff like that. So literally in my area, within two blocks, there's like six stores I can shop at. So find a little concentrate, like a shopping center, things like that, where there's busy stores and you can get a variety of places. Because you want to give yourself the best chance to get an order. So it's all by proximity too. So it's GPS based. You need to be at the place you're going to. You need to be in the parking lot of one of the stores, at least within a mile, I would say. You can't just hang out at home and hope something's going to come to you. You need to actually go to the area.
That makes sense. So actually on the point of who tips better than the, you know, normal people or the rich people, one of my side hustles that I did while I was in college was I was a valet parker on weekends.
Nice.
Great side hustle. Doesn't require any skill. All you have to do.
Well, you gotta drive a manual. Like, that's pretty rare to say.
Yeah, but you know, so few cars are manuals now anyways. But yeah, like actually we had people who didn't drive manuals. So as long as one person on the team drove manual, it was fine. Sure. So, and I was more than happy to be that one because first, it's usually a fun car.
Yep.
you know, and the second, people who drive manuals always tip as well. They're just like, they're just kind of decent human beings. But what I was going to say was we had the really, really rich areas. We would have private parties. And then we would also valet at this local bar. That was kind of just like a, you know, just a run-of-the-mill bar. Mm-hmm. At the bar, I realized we probably got more consistent tips, but they were less. You know, most people give $2.
Just a couple bucks.
Once in a while, you get $5. Yeah. But, you know, I would say, like, people who also don't make a lot of money, who, you know, also work hard, they kind of understand, you know, and you're kind of on the same level.
Yeah.
So that would throw you a couple bucks. At the very rich places, you had people that was kind of all over the place where some people felt entitled that, you know, this was like a paid service that they're, you know, that they shouldn't have to pay, you know, that their friends paid for already or, you know, or the host of the party paid for. So they just don't tip at all. Mm-hmm. But then you have some people who give $20 or, you know, or more. So it.
Which can definitely make up the difference quick. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I always ended up making more money at these VIP expensive places. But it does feel like it sometimes where, you know, you get these cheap assholes driving a Mercedes.
Yeah.
That just don't tip at all.
And that's why you do what I do too, is you have a do not shop for list. So if you have someone that you had a bad experience with, I actually have an entire list of addresses that I will not work for anymore. And you just keep that in your phone. And when they come up, but I have a whole list of people, like terrible people that I won't shop for. So you get one chance with me. After that, you're out.
You know what? I would have thought that they would just be a function of the app. You could just block them after a
You can request it. It's kind of a pain. Like if you have a really terrible experience, I've had a couple over the years where it's like, I never want to interact with that person again. You can actually reach out and be like, hey, that person did this or whatever. And like, I just don't want to deal with that. And they'll block them from ever coming up on your app again, which is nice.
Okay, cool.
Hey bosses, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. The show will be right back.
So let's move on. What's the next side hustle?
The next kind of like tip on this too, I would also say, is the reason I pick like the suburbs is to like go into houses, because delivered houses is so much easier than an apartment building. Have you ever tried to get into like one of these giant corporate apartment buildings where there's like building A, building B, building C, apartment one, level 13/4. It's like, you can't even figure it out. A lot of them have codes to the elevators. You can't get in. You try to call the person, you can't get a hold of them. I would say avoid as many giant apartment buildings as you can and try to find areas with just houses.
You know what? In Thailand, it was the exact opposite, where if you had to drive around the houses, it would take forever to deliver something. But we have these giant condo units, but they are all done so well where they will have a designated pickup drop-off area for
food
delivery. Yeah, it's great. You know, and they just text you in the app saying foods, you know, at the lobby or foods at, you know, gate D. And it's so honest where people could just leave packages and food on this little table.
Would never work here. That would never work here.
So you can just head down like in 10, 20 minutes whenever you're free and pick it up, and it's always there.
See, that would be nice. If I could trust anybody, anytime I get a delivery, I'm like, and I notice that the driver was too lazy to actually bring it in our mail room and they'll leave it outside. I've pretty much written it off that it's gone. There's a 50-50 chance that it won't be there when I get home.
Wow. All right. So what's next on the list?
So the next thing is, once you found your area, you got a good spot, you've worked there a few days and you really like it, is stay there. Don't move around. Don't hop around in different spots. You need to be like fast and get to know people. So if you're doing like DoorDash, Grubhub, things like that, you'll get to know these like restaurant workers, and you know, they'll help you out before like some jerk driver that just doesn't even talk to them and just hands, throws their phone in their face. And also the same thing with like the grocery stores, you get to know like the workers there and they'll help you grab stuff from the back or things like that, where otherwise the manager might be like, I'm not going to help you out. Like, I know like you're a jerk or I don't know you or things like that. People will get you to do favors to help you find stuff, to give you a better rating in the app, and just do better in general. And you know the store, you can go so much faster. Like, I could literally shop for like an entire cart full of groceries and have it done in like 10 minutes, and faster than the person that wanted the things anyways could have done it themselves. I get so many times like, that's impossible. How'd you do it so fast? I'm like, I've been in that store 10,000 times. I know where everything is.
So speaking of which, I remember back in the day before all these delivery apps, especially in places like New York, we had a stack of delivery menus. And if you wanted, you know, Chinese food, you would call up Doc Wan Fong's, you know, Chinese takeout, and they would send a guy that worked for
the actual restaurant, right?
The actual restaurant.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's ever going to come back, because, you know, you have all these restaurants complaining about, you know, the percentage that's taken away from these delivery apps or the competition, all that stuff. Why don't these popular restaurants just hire their own full-time drivers and just have their own delivery service?
I think it's back to the wage thing, because the last holdout was Domino's Pizza. They never did the DoorDash or anything, Uber Eats, anything like that. They said forever, you know what, we're doing it ourselves. We have our own cool app. Every once in a while, I'll order Domino's, very rarely, but it's actually a really good app. You can see it when it gets put in the oven, things like that. It's really actually a very good app. And they actually just said now, with all the wage increases, they finally signed a deal with DoorDash to actually let them deliver their pizza. So I think you're seeing the very opposite happened here in the States. And you know what? It takes the liability off them too. Because if you have an employee, let's say you have an employee get in an accident on the way to someone's home, or like some crazy employee breaks in this person's house or things like that, that's a lawsuit just waiting to happen. So why not pass that liability on to DoorDash?
You know, it's funny. I only used delivery apps for food in when I was living in Kyiv for two places. One was McDonald's and one was Domino's.
All the American spots.
KFC as well. Yeah, I never used it for anything else, because everything else, like, it would, the food takes like 40 minutes an hour to come. It's always expensive.
Every time I've done it, I've hated it. The food's awful and the driver is sketch, and I'm just like, who does this?
Yes, but with Domino's, KFC, KFC, McDonald's was hit or miss, but Domino's was, I knew I would get my pizza in 25 minutes, because the Domino's was like a block away from my house. So the drivers loved it, because they could literally just walk over with my pizza. But what I liked was they would come all the way to my door. You know, I would give them very detailed instructions, because in the kind of notes part, I would write, my entryway is between this and this restaurant. You know, when you go in, you make a right and then a left, walk across this. The door code is this.
That's
walk
perfect. Up, you know, three, you know, five you'd stairs. Be surprised how many people don't do any of that, Johnny, especially people live in these weird buildings where you got any codes and everything.
Yeah. And I would write it so perfectly, you know, and this every time, you know, I'd get a little knock on my door. I would always tip as well. And I think in Ukraine, people didn't really tip. Mm-hmm. So they would always be ecstatic, you know. But I only did it because the delivery was so cheap that it justified me just staying in the house and, you know, not putting on clothes, walking downstairs, and even though it was just literally a block away.
Yeah. And I think, you know what, I kind of missed. Would you tip people in cash? I would guess.
Yeah. So I don't know. I liked the feeling of tipping people in cash.
I love it. But it doesn't happen very often anymore.
Yeah, so most people, their excuse is they don't have cash. Mm-hmm. So they're like, you know, they either just tip through the app or they don't tip at all. But what I did was I think the last time I was at the bank or something, I just asked for like a stack of 50 hryvnia notes, which is like $2, like basically $2 bills.
Yeah.
And whenever I would have drivers come over, and remember, in Ukraine, people usually tip zero. I don't know why. That's just kind of the food culture there, even at restaurants. So I would always just give a 50 baht note or 50 grivna note, which is like $2. And they would always be super happy because they never expected it. And just like having that cash is something that they can use right away. They don't have to wait until the next week to go buy the coffee or something. So usually, you know, I'm just assuming like after work, they're like, oh, I can use this to go buy coffee. Or I can use this to buy, you know, a drink or a snack or something.
Yeah, exactly. I went to Mexico last month at an all-inclusive, and I was like, do you got a tip every time? I don't know. It was so cheap. I was just like, all right, I got like little peso bills. Yeah, they were like $2 or $3 a piece. And every time the bartender would bring drinks or whatever, I tipped them like a couple bucks. So I'm like, this is great. And they're like, thank you so much. They were so grateful. And then they were like, also, thank you for not paying us in US dollars, because all the US people would just pay in US dollars. And they're like, well, that's great, but now I got to figure out where to exchange this and everything. So.
Yeah. And actually, it's funny because, you know, even though the dollar, you know, might have been worth more, just like whatever something's in their actual currency, it just it feels like they got more value from it.
Yeah.
And funny story on that is when we don't need to go into it.
Okay, the last thing I want to touch on before we get out of here, because we can talk so much more side hustles. I think we should maybe do one of these every couple of months or so and talk about some other side hustle stuff. The last thing, if you're going to do these side hustles and do them pretty often, you're going to see a lot of the same people. And this is where it gets kind of strange. And I don't know what side of the fence you fall on in this, but I stay out of the little cliques of these drivers. It is like high school all over again. They're all drama. And they're all like competing with each other. And like, if you get an order and then they get jealous about you, I'm like, I'm not the computer. I didn't send whatever order to me, and don't get mad at me. And I just stay out of the drama. I don't like fight with them, but I'm also not like best friends with them. I'll say hi or whatever. And that's it. I don't want to get involved in that stuff. There's a lot of these guys that it's like, and girls, you know, that they treat it like their full-time career. And if you're going to do that, honestly, it's loser mentality. Don't treat this as your full-time career, because you're just going to get sucked into it. It's never going to pay off. There's no benefits to the job. It's like, you have to have, it's called a side hustle for a reason. It should be on the side. It should not be your main gig 24 hours a day. And there are people that start at 6 a.m. and they work to like 11 p.m. at night, like literally 7 days a week. And they just hang out with each other. They just talk to each other. They strategize. But then at the same time, they're just gossiping and talking crap about each other. And while they're off doing that, I'm like actually just grabbing an order and working. So just stay out of like the culture of it. I don't know. Once you start doing it, I think you would understand what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm curious. You mentioned side benefits. Are there any benefits? Like, do you get like free sodas or anything when you do a pickup? Anytime you ever get free food or anything?
Every once in a while, or like a DoorDash, Grubhub type, Uber Eats type order. Let's say they give the wrong address and you can't get a hold of them. Sometimes you'll get an address that doesn't exist, and you're like, well, I don't know where I'm going. You try to call them and they don't answer and things like that. A lot of times you can keep the food then. It doesn't happen to me very often, but it does happen to some people a lot. Instacart, if something like that happens, a lot of times you can, but if there's something like alcohol in there, they make you return it, but you usually get a little bit extra money back anyways. You get like 15 or 20 bucks or whatever it is. So it usually works out okay. Like back in the day, they used to just let you keep all the booze if someone didn't have an ID. One time I got like two giant bottles of Grey Goose. I got like literally $200 in liquor one time. But the good old days, you can't do that anymore.
Here's another reminder is you don't have to be that smart to do any of this. You don't have to have a university degree. Mm-hmm. You can shows. Be a complete moron. Do you remember when we had the Invest Like a Boss live, like the I think we called the iLab Summit. It was
in LA. I think you told me this story. I'm not going to step on it, but if it's a story I'm thinking of, it's a good one.
So we needed ice, and I thought, you know what, this would be a great time to use my, you know, one free delivery promo with, you know, whatever.
Yeah, try it out.
Was it Uber?
Usually they'll give you like a free. It's probably Instacart. They usually give you like a free first time try it out with us.
Yeah, so it was probably Instacart or something. I ordered I think it was 25 or 50 pounds, you know, of ice. It was a lot of ice. Let's say 25 or 30 pounds.
Instant no order from me, but someone took it.
Sure. Yeah, so someone took it, and then she texts me saying, what flavor do you want?
Water ice, no flavor.
And I was like, what?
Did she think just like ice cream or what?
And then she immediately wrote, ha ha ha, oops, I thought it was for ice cream.
Oh, God.
And I responded.
This is your competition. This is all I'm saying is like, if you have a half of a brain, you can crush this job.
Can you imagine if she showed up with 30 pounds of ice cream?
That'd be a win-win for you, Johnny. You'd get ice cream and you could complain to them that you didn't get what you ordered and you get it all for free.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not paying for this. Well, I mean, we could still chill the beers with the ice cream.
Stick a beer in each ice cream.
Oh, God. But yeah, definitely a good side hustle breakdown. I actually thought in this episode we were going to go through all the different side hustles, but then I kind of realized halfway through that we're going to deep dive in this first one and we'll make this a series. So if anybody has any other side hustle ideas that you want us to deep dive into, let us know, you know, in the Boss Lounge and Patreon or wherever you're listening and hanging out.
Yeah, we actually came up with a list, Johnny. I think I sent to you last week. I think I sent like 20 or 30 side hustles, and I've probably done 90% of those, and I'm sure between me and you, we could come up with like probably like 50 episodes of different side hustles.
So yeah, I think it'll be fun. I definitely, it's unlocked a couple core memories of side hustles I've done in my past as well. So I'm excited to jump in and dive in with you on those.
I just thought of it, Johnny. This podcast is one of our side hustles too.
Yeah, I mean, basically is, literally.
With that, I think you guys should go to Patreon, because Johnny and I are going to hop off right after this and we're going to record a Patreon exclusive. There's a lot of updates between us. Johnny is traveling around the world. I think he's going back to Ukraine. I got some changes here in LA. So lots of stuff going on, and we got lots of interesting things in Patreon. I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. We have a guest coming up that you can ask questions for. I also had a call with our recent guest, Shareholder Vote Exchange. He didn't want all the information public to everyone, but I was able to put some information in Patreon on that, why they are actually going out of business. Kind of an interesting story. And quarterly updates are in there. Now you get the full episode with Sam and Johnny.
And Derek this time. So this is the first time ever you've had Derek on a quarterly updates. If you guys want to hear all that, it's going to be a Patreon exclusive. The salmon on my part is going to be public as normal, but if you want to hear Derek's part, it's going to be in the Patreon.
So go check that out, and I'm off to my next side hustle. I'll see you bosses next week.
All right, ciao.
Thanks for listening to the Invest Like a Boss podcast. Join our mailing list at investlikeaboss.com to get exclusive access to our insider investment portfolios and our private members forum.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends and leave us a review in the iTunes store. It helps more than you know. See you guys next week.